When you listen to your ambition, you can accomplish amazing things. Whether you're looking to start your career or get ahead in your career, your journey begins at Seneca Polytechnic's Open House on Saturday, April 20th. Join us in person or virtually from 9 a.m. to noon to discover programs, meet Seneca experts, attend live presentations, and explore our campuses. You've got the ambition. Now take the first step. Register at senecapolytechnic.ca.
It's time for The Drive on TSN 1200, sending you home with everything you need to know about sports. Now, with the voice of the Ottawa Senators, Dean Brown, here's Graham Creech.
Good afternoon, and welcome to The Drive here on TSN 1200. I think Cam Clement is playing that song because he's working all weekend. It's Graham Creech, Dean Brown, Cam Clement with you today. Dean and I have a rare weekend off. We're not working. But I know Cam Clement's here today. Got some 67s tomorrow and Sunday, so maybe it's a theme for Cam. But let's start with the lineup today. It's very heavy. We've got a massive lineup here today, and it begins 20 minutes from now or 15 minutes from now. Bruce Garriott at 220, AJ Jakubek at 305, Kevin Hayem at 340. We'll replay the Brady Tkachuk interview from In the Box at 405, Vanessa Sanchez at 445, and John Shannon at 5:05. We do have another iron in the fire. But, say good afternoon. The play-by-play voice of the Ottawa Senators, Dean Brown. Dino, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, boys. It's fun. It's as we are well aware, it's rare for me to be on a talk show, so it's a fun little afternoon for me. And yeah, looking forward to it. Should be fun.
Yeah, looking forward to you reading some texts. I know you love to dig into those.
Oh, I'll have to. You're gonna have to. I'm gonna have to. Doing it from home, I'm going to have to remember how to be able to get in to read the texts.
I'll fire you the link momentarily.
Perfect.
So don't worry.
And I know you've done that like 9 times and I still, but I'm, so I always forget. So yeah, send me the link because I love, and the meaner the better. The meaner the better, like don't send any, hey, you guys are fantastic. This is a great show. Don't send those. I appreciate it. Don't get me wrong. But let's be honest. The entertaining ones are really the acidic, mean-spirited ones that personally attack us. I enjoy those the most.
Yeah, you and Dave Smart should host a four-hour show together because you both only like reading negative texts about yourself.
You know what? Way, way back, Creature, when I was transitioning from football into hockey, and I'd never done play-by-play of hockey before. I'd only done football for 8 years or 10 years or whatever it was until I started doing this gig. One of the sales managers at our radio station, Larry Kelly, his father was Hal Kelly, who was Dan Kelly's brother. I don't know. Have I told you this story before? I'm not sure.
I'm not remembering it right now anyways.
Anyway, so I went to Larry and I said, listen, your father was on Hockey Night in Canada. He was the voice of the St. Louis Blues, actually. And when he left St. Louis to go work for Hockey Night in Canada, St. Louis said, well, who should we get to replace you? And he said, well, don't be an idiot. My brother. That's how Dan Kelly got hired to be the voice of the Blues. And then he went on to, be a Hall of Fame broadcaster as well. So, the Kelly family didn't just have Dan in it. Hal was before Dan. Anyway, Hal was Larry Kelly's brother. And I said to him, I said, is there any chance that your dad would help me, would kind of give me a hand, kind of be a mentor and, somebody to bounce things off of? And he said, well, I'll ask him. At that time, his health wasn't good. He was in a home and he couldn't see. He'd lost his sight. And so Larry asked him and he said, here's my dad's phone number. He said, give him a call because he wants to talk to you before he decides whether he's going to do this or not. And Larry told me, he said, and you should know right off the bat that my dad is way more than just a curmudgeon. So first thing I did was I went to the newsroom, got a dictionary to find out what curmudgeon meant. And then I called. And basically what he told me was, hey, yeah, my son tells you you're going to be doing hockey and you want me to. He said, first of all, just so you know, you might not want to do this at all because your girlfriend and your mother are going to tell you how great you are. I'm not going to bother with any of that crap. I am just going to tell you about the stuff you screw up or the stuff you're terrible at. So if your little ego can't handle that, you should just hang up now and go back to do whatever you're. That was our first conversation. And I would call him for that first year, the very first year. I called him after every single game. And he gave me a little hit list of stuff that he liked that I did. And That was a very short list, and the stuff that he didn't like and why he didn't like it and stuff that I could change and stuff that I could vary things up. And he was one of the biggest advancements for me in this game to understand what it is to do play-by-play in the NHL properly. And, you know, he was the one who said, whatever your personality is, that should be in your play-by-play. Don't try to sound like everybody else. Try to sound like you. Just be you. And he was the first guy that drove that home to me. And he was obviously, you know, completely right. You know, one of the reasons that, you know, Gord Miller is who Gord Miller is, because when he's on the air, he's Gord Miller. Or, you know, start talking about any of the really good play-by-play guys in any sport. And, you know, you know what their personality is because they're the same guy on the air. They're true to themselves. They're not acting, you know. But the other thing was, there was only one game that I missed calling him. We were out in L.A., and after the game, I just thought, well, you know, like, he's in a home. He's not a young man. And, you know, by the time I get off the air and get back to the hotel, you know, like, man, it's going to be like 3:30 in the morning for him. I, you know, I wouldn't want to wake him up. So I didn't call. So after the next game, I called, and he picked up the phone. He goes, oh, we're still doing this? And I said, well, yeah, if you don't mind. He said, well, after you didn't call me the last time, I thought, you know, basically we were done. I was going on with my life. I said, well, no, I didn't want to. He said, Dean, I'm in a home. Got nothing to do. I can't see. I can't watch TV. Can't do anything. Can't read. He said, I stayed up to wait for your call, for heaven's sakes. It's the only thing I had on my agenda that week. So either we're doing this or we're not. And I said, oh, no, absolutely. I'm sorry. I didn't, you know, I was trying to be, you know. And he said, don't worry about that. When the game is over, call me. I'm waiting for the call. Anyway, he was a huge, huge help to me. And every time I told him how much he appreciated, yeah, whatever. Anyway. So in the third period, you said, you know, like he wasn't good at taking compliments, and he wasn't good at being appreciated. But I'll tell you what, he helped me more than any single person in understanding how to do this job properly.
Yeah, the air checks can be intimidating, especially when you're new at it, when you're listening to yourself. I don't think there's a lot of people don't like listening to their own voice and then hearing those back. Yeah, me too. And hearing those back, like, and then telling, like, you get positive feedback, but then there's, you could do this better, you could do that better. And yeah, the criticism from other people. And I think my skin's gotten thicker, but I'm not like you, where I seek out negative energy. And I've emailed you the text information, how to log in. And there are already some texts that you would enjoy.
Oh, nice.
So leave it at that. But I got to say good afternoon to Cam Clement. Cam and I are both at 87 George Street in the Market, so we've both been outside today. I'll ask Dean in a second if he has, but how you feeling today, Cam? Is your music theme working for the weekend? Hey, you're the producer. You make that call, whatever floats your boat. How you doing with this weather? Not well. Dino, you're via Zoom today. Have you had to go outside? Have you been outside yet?
Well, yeah, I've been outside a couple of times. Took the car in for some service this morning, and then Sue and I went out for breakfast and came home, and been outside with the dogs. We have two noofs.
When you listen to your ambition, you can accomplish amazing things. Whether you're looking to start your career or get ahead in your career, your journey begins at Seneca Polytechnic's Open House on Saturday, April 20th. Join us in person or virtually from 9 a.m. to noon to discover programs, meet Seneca experts, attend live presentations, and explore our campuses. You've got the ambition. Now take the first step. Register at senecapolytechnic.ca.
So I know this sounds ridiculous, but this is kind of in their wheelhouse, you know, so they're outside all the time, and they're fine with this. Judy, now that she's getting older, she doesn't stay outside as long, and Trevor, you know, will come in. But like with our last big guy, Bruce, Bruce in minus 35, minus 40 would go sleep in the laneway for 3 hours. You know, like we have a dog door so the dogs can come and go because, you know, he'll say, you leave your don't leave my dog outside. He can come and go. And he gets too cold, he comes in. But with Noofs, this is the weather they're built for. This is the weather they're bred for. So they don't mind this in any way. So you go outside with them a little bit because they're outside. If they're not outside sleeping in a snowbank. And when they get bored or lonely, not so much, I don't think, cold. But when they get bored or just want to change a pace, they come back inside. But so, yeah, I've been outside a little bit, but didn't try to stay outside longer than I needed to because I'm not going to try and pretend that I like it all that much at minus 43 or whatever it is right now. So, yeah, I'm like everybody else. If I don't need to go outside, I'm not. And when I do, I make sure I'm dressed for it. But I don't stay out there very long if I don't have to.
Yeah, it's cold. So I feel for anyone working outdoors today, if you're stuck doing that, hopefully you can motor through and the weekend comes soon. But we'll get into it a little bit this segment. But really, about 7 minutes from now, Bruce Garriock will join us. So I just want to take the listeners through your reaction last night when 10:38 p.m. you get the notification that the Belleville Senators have made a coaching change. Troy Mann is out after a win, and that news was sent at 10:38 last night, and we've gotten a little bit of information throughout the day. But what was your initial reaction when you saw that information released last night?
I think I was like everybody else. I was surprised, didn't see it coming. And I think it's like, you know, for most people, you know, this was obviously something that was internal. And so not surprising that, you know, people, were surprised by it, because internal, you know, implies as it should, not public, you know, and I'm not going to say secret, but, you know, like it's one of those things where this is an internal stuff. And I've watched the media conference in Belleville with Ryan Bonus. And, you know, as he pointed out, this is not one thing. This is multiple things. So I suppose over time there will be some of them, whatever those reasons are, that will come out or be more clear, or maybe not. You know, sometimes there are personal things that work into these things that we don't know about, we never find out about. And there are, as we've all seen, there's stuff out there in the marketplace already and on Twitter and on social media, you know, that's already out there, which may or may not be true. Who's to know? You know, and I've had some, I've seen some of the stuff and people wondering why, you know, there's some tweets out there with a specific reason why this may have taken place, and why aren't you guys talking more about that? Well, just so people understand, unlike, you know, just blurting things out when you're out with your buddies, you know, in our jobs, there is a legal responsibility as broadcasters, and we are subject to the laws of libel, slander, defamation. And we can't go on the air and talk about something that somebody else's unnamed source said. If we can't prove it ourselves, we can't say it. Otherwise, we could be liable in some legal way. So if you're wondering why, you know, we and other media outlets are not jumping fully on board with some of the tweets that are out there quoting their own sources, that's why we can't just jump on those things, because there is a legal responsibility we have to either find out who those sources are. And, you know, most times a reporter's not going to tell you who their source is. They may feel strong enough that if they have to justify it to their boss or their legal department, they know they can. But if it's not our source, we can't. And so, like I said, I've seen some of the stuff on social media saying, well, why aren't you guys discussing this? Because this is out there. Well, it can be out there, but that doesn't mean that, you know, we can go down that path as easily as people think we can sometimes. So that being said, I think there's probably a lot of people who understand that. And some people just think it's a way of weaseling out of having to talk about something, but it really isn't. It's a real thing. And, you know, those are the realities that that we have to live under. So I don't know the reasons, Creature. I've heard things too. We all hear things. All of us who are close and in the business have heard things. But I can't tell you for sure what the one thing that broke the camel's back or what the several reasons were. And I can't tell you if we will ever know completely what they were. All I know is it's something that nobody wants to see. Nobody wants to see somebody lose their job, number one. Number two, I'm sure that nobody wanted to fire man. You know, it's not convenient. It's not, you know, it's not a helpful thing to have to do this in the middle of, well, not the middle, but, you know, the three quarters of the way through the season to have this kind of upheaval on your team and in your organization. Nobody wants this. But if it became something that you had to do, then you have to do it. And we all just have to move on. And you know, you move on, and then down the road, you may or may not find out what all the reasons were or weren't.
Well, we'll get into it throughout the show, and we do have a guest-heavy lineup. So we'll get into a number of things, but we'll get right back into the Senators-related discussion and Troy Mann situation on the other side with Post Media's Bruce Garriock as the drive continues on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back to the drive here on TSN 1200. Graham Creech, Dean Brown, Cam Clement, the lineup today. And we have a guest-heavy show. We'll begin with our first guest going to the Gabriel Pizza Hotline for the first time. And pleased to welcome in Post Media's Bruce Garriock. Bruce, good afternoon. How are you doing today? Oh, terrific. Thank you. Of course, what's got the Senators community buzzing last night and today, of course, is Troy Mann being fired as head coach of the Belleville Senators. So we'll get into that. But first, I'll just start by asking your reaction when you found out that news last night at almost 11 o'clock.
I think, you know, Troy Mann had been behind the bench in Belleville for 4.5 years. Obviously, over the course of time, things are done certain ways. And I think when Ryan Bonus came in, one of the things he looked at was he came from an organization in Pittsburgh, and I just got off the phone with him. He came from an organization in Pittsburgh where he felt there was good synchronicity and good synergy between the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Wilkes-Barre Penguins, and he didn't get that feeling that was happening here. I think there were communication issues between the organization and Troy Mann, among other things, that had made this organization and him certainly grow apart, and he felt it was time to make a change. And he said to me there was no point sitting on him. If you're going to fire a guy as the son of a coach, he knows this better than anyone. You fire the guy because there's no point sitting around waiting to do it.
Bruce, when you heard that this move had been made, and I'm kind of the same as everybody else, we already talked about this, I didn't see it coming. Because it is rare that it happens in season. You know, Ryan Bonus also said that it isn't one thing. On the top of his list, it's that synchronicity point. But he also said that there were several things, not just one thing. And I think it's the several things that has Twitter and social media buzzing, because there's a lot of speculation about, you know, what some of those other things would be. My question to you is, do you think we'll ever really know what the most important of those other things are?
No. I guess, you know, I know what you speak of. I don't know what the facts are here, so I don't think it's real for me to go there. I will say that I think that there was some concern with the way that the interaction with the players down there, the interaction with the rest of the coaching staff. I would say that in a lot of ways, this was probably a very large communication issue in the way that things were being done in Belleville. I think that when you look, we're gonna hear a lot of stories, and that's what you hear when coaches get fired. But I think I know that outwardly we see Troy Mann and he's very outgoing with the media and he speaks very well. I think that if you talk to some of the players, he can be very straightforward with them. And he can be a difficult coach as well in terms of his approach. But look, you know, maybe I'm going to beat you to your next question, but this was also a difficult position because his brother is the assistant general manager. And Trent Mann was not involved in this discussion at all. he basically wasn't read into this until the end. I'm sure that he's not very pleased at all with what went on here. But we all know Trent is a professional, and it won't affect the way he does his job. But understand that his position in the organization is maybe one of the reasons that Troy has been here as long as he has as well.
Yeah, that was my next question, was that he wouldn't have been involved in the decision because of that relationship. Is there a way that you can speculate?
If you think about it, Creature, he would have, even if they did say, look, we're going to fire your brother, he would have had to recuse himself from that discussion anyway, right? Because he can't, and he's the kind of guy who would. I just think they didn't feel on this one that they could.
When you listen to your ambition, you can accomplish amazing things. Whether you're looking to start your career or get ahead in your career, your journey begins at Seneca Polytechnic's open house on Saturday, April 20th. Join us in person or virtually from 9 a.m. to noon to discover programs, meet Seneca experts, attend live presentations, and explore our campuses. You've got the ambition. Now take the first step. Register at SenecaPolytechnic.ca.
Consultant.
Just in terms of, and we found out more today a little bit with Ryan Bonus speaking and Claire Hanna reporting in her tweet. And again, that's not our information, but just sharing what she shared in her reporting. But with the tying that to the release last night that the move was made because of the communication and aligning internally within the organization. If there were something bigger, is there a reason maybe that wasn't included in the initial release to avoid some of that confusion from the fan base and media?
I don't know. I mean, what do? Kick a guy when he's down? Do you know what I mean? Like, people flipped out when Eugene Melnyk said that you know, Dave Cameron made a stupid decision of starting an inexperienced goaltender in the home opener. I mean, if you go that far, Creature, you're just kicking a guy on the way out the door. I don't think that they want to do that. I think you know,
I guess I didn't mean like specifically
tweet, and I think well, yeah, I can't speak to all of it. But I do think there were trust issues between Troy Mann and the organization that ran a lot deeper than we'll ever know.
When you look at this, Bruce, how long do you think this is going to have? How long is this story going to have legs? Because obviously it's very hot today and it's something that is going to be talked about. But is this going to be a central topic of discussion? I suppose as I'm asking that, you know, you can already foresee what some of the other things might be if other shoes drop. If at the end of the season, Trent Mann says, I didn't like what happened to my brother, I'm quitting the organization, then that's going to create, you know. But all I'm saying is, if nothing else happens, how long is this a story? Because, and I'm not downplaying what's going on, but in professional hockey at all levels, coaches get hired and fired all the time.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how long this story, though, will have legs with this organization in this town.
Well, probably till David Bell gets his first win, right? No, I mean, look, the Belleville Senators are going on their All-Star break after their game tomorrow night against the Rochester Amherst. I do believe that the Senators wanted to fire Troy Mann before the game yesterday, guys. I think that logistically, it just wasn't possible for both Ryan Bonus and Pierre Dorion to be there in the morning. I think that that's why the time was after the game. I think that, look, they're going on their All-Star break. The Ottawa Senators aren't playing right now. So this story is also getting a lot of attention. I know that American Hockey League coaching changes are not very common in midseason. I saw Patrick Williams' tweet. But I guess, you know, I just wonder, with all the information that's out there, You know, will we see Troy Mann behind any bench again? So I guess that's what I wonder now.
Bruce, just moving on to, while the Senators are in their break, not playing any games, no news on the ice to pass along. Is there any news that you can provide an information update on the sale of the team and when we can expect some more news to come in on that?
Well, it's been interesting because I was told in the last couple of days that by mid-February, and don't hold me to any of these dates, they fully expect that they will have the first round of bids, GSP in New York, Gladio Sports Partners. The New York-based banker will have the first round of bids. They will take those bids, guys, and they will turn them over to the National Hockey League, and then the National Hockey League will politely thank Sal Gaudio and the people at GSP, and they'll take the process from there. And I really think while a lot of it has gone underground because people have signed non-disclosure agreements, the hope and the thinking is that by sometime around March 1, we'll know who pretty much has an agreement in principle with the National Hockey League to buy the Ottawa Senators. Because first and foremost, you have to make a deal with the NHL. I know the team is owned by the Melnyk family. I do believe that Anna and Olivia Melnyk would like to hold on to a small percentage of the team, perhaps 5% each, 10%, if the new owner will allow that. And that will be up to the new owner. I mean, I also can tell you that Ryan Reynolds has been very aggressive in his pursuit of this team after meeting with his people at Maximum Effort over the course of the Christmas holidays to make sure that absolutely everybody is on board. I think he has either, and I say this carefully, I say he's either aligned himself with a group or perhaps, I don't know about this, I don't know if he's leading a group himself, but I think he has a group. I think he wants to be involved, and we both know that the National Hockey League wants him involved, so even if he's not part of a successful bid, I think one way or another, Ryan Reynolds will play a role in the ownership of the Senators.
Bruce, we should, you're in contact with these people, I'm not. When you talk about Ryan Reynolds and his bid, we're not talking about him being the primary financial guy. You know, are we talking about him owning a percentage, but obviously because of his celebrity being the face of it. But, you know, if it's, you know, pick a number. If it's $800 million to buy the team, he might be, I don't know, $25 million of that or $100 million of that. But
exactly.
Others will have the biggest chunk. So he will be the face of it, but he would not be financially the lead guy, correct?
And it's like, it wasn't that the way he was with the with Mint Mobile, or the way he is with Mint Mobile? He doesn't own all of Mint Mobile, but
he only owns like 25% or something like that.
But he's certainly the face of Mint Mobile, and he may not be the majority owner of the Senators, but he could easily be the face of the franchise. I really think that the two leads in this group are Mike Landlauer's group, and I've heard he's just put together a tremendous group, and I do know he has spoken to Reynolds. And I also think Jeffrey and Michael Kimmel, the Toronto-based billionaires who used to own part of the Penguins, who have been described to me as both as very dynamic people who could do this themselves if they'd like. I think they've also spoken to Reynolds. So I think that those are the two lead contenders. I was told yesterday that Andre Demery remains bullish, but I think one of the things he's battling is Andre is the only one in the Demery family who wants to buy the Senators, that perhaps the rest of the Demery family isn't as on board as he is. And that's why Michael Landlauer, as I've said, is trying to sell his portion of the Habs to the Demery family because, you know, really in a lot of ways the Demery family is well, Andre was born in Ottawa. They're a Montreal-based family. So there's a lot of moving parts here. And I think you're going to hear some names, obviously, that I'm not sure how much credibility they have. But I do know that there is a mystery group, and I was told again yesterday, there is a mystery group that could come up the middle, and they have spoken to Reynolds and buy this thing, and we won't hear them until they've made an agreement in principle. So there's a lot of moving parts here. But one thing I will say, I do think in the end, Gary Bettman will choose the owner. And if I had to bet my money on that, I would say, and I said this on TV, and I don't mind saying it here, I think when push comes to shove, he marries Ann Lauer and the Kimmel family, who have both been in the club before. You know, Ann Lauer is still in the club, and the Kimmel family is sold out of the club right now, and somehow gets them as kind of a dual group for both the arena and Le Breton Flats.
And doesn't it feel like Ryan Reynolds is involved no matter what group wins the bid as well?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, as Bettman said, like, he has 100 million followers on social media. Look at what he's done, Creature, with Wrexham. I mean, this is not, you guys know soccer way better than me, but basically, as near as I can tell, they're a pretty low-level team that, you know, with a little money and a little life injected into them, they've moved up fairly quickly, and they can't, I listened to a radio show over there the other day, they can't keep their merchandise on the shelves.
Wow. Now, Bruce, you mentioned when you were talking about the time frame. Remind all of us, what is the time frame for the NCC? Because it's one thing to have.
When you listen to your ambition, you can accomplish amazing things. Whether you're looking to start your career or get ahead in your career, your journey begins at Seneca Polytechnic's open house on Saturday, April 20th. Join us in person or virtually from 9 a.m. to noon to discover programs, meet Seneca experts, attend live presentations, and explore our campuses. You've got the ambition. Now take the first step. Register at SenecaPolytechnic.ca.
Have the NHL having a time frame. These two things are inextricably linked. And so what is the time frame that the NCC is working on? What I'm really asking is, when does the NHL have to have this wrapped up and have an owner declared and awarded the franchise and, you know, checks cross paths to be able to sync up with when the NCC needs signatures from the owner on lease agreements for the land and the subsequent building? What's the time frame that those two things have to kind of merge?
Well, so there were certainly some thinking that, okay, if this can get done by March 1, then the official transfer of ownership would be March, April, May, would be 3 months. I had to count out to myself, would be sometime around June. And you've got to have a lease in place with the NCC by the fall. Now, they've been very loose on the fall. I think the first day of winter is until December 21st, but I don't think they really want to wait that long. I think, Dean, I believe they have a meeting. They usually have a meeting in October or November, and I really think at that point they'd like to have a lease signed off on by then. And the new owner is going to have to sign off on that lease. Now, the negotiations on a lease have continued while the team is up for sale with Anthony LeBlanc and Aaron Crow and Chris Phillips to some extent handling that file. And and I think that, you know, when the new owners do come in, they sit down and say, okay, this is what we negotiated. What do you think? And a lot of what's in the lease, quite frankly, guys, is in the memorandum of understanding. But also what's going to have to happen, and I've made this point several times during the election, the new owner is going to have to sit down with the mayor of the city of Ottawa. And, the mayor of the city of Ottawa is going to have to make a decision on whether he wants the city involved in this project and he wants a team downtown. And I think that Mark Sutcliffe's close advisors have told him it's in your best interest to re-vibrate, to get the downtown vibrant again, to get this team downtown. So, what's going to be the community involvement in this? Well, that's to be determined as well. So there are still levels of government that have to be worked with once the new owner does get in there.
Last one for me, for you, Bruce. Just wanted to get your opinion on what you think Jim Pierre-Dorion will be doing up until the trade deadline, player personnel-wise. Do you think that this four-game winning streak, and I know the comments were made before the four-gamer, but now with where they're at, do you anticipate him being a buyer? Do you think he'll sell off some expiring contracts? How do you see this deadline playing out for the Sens?
Well, I'm saying this, like, we had Mark Mathot on our round table there the other day, Critcher, and I think right now he's sitting firmly on the fence. I think if you go through the schedule when they get back, they play Edmonton, they've got like five or six games. I think those five or six games will be a pivotal stretch, right? You know, if they come out of those and they're, you know, now two or three back rather than six out, and look, it's still a mountainous task. There's no question about it. But it looks a hell of a lot better than it did 2 weeks ago when they were 11 points back, right? I think that he is quite willing to buy. He's still looking for that elusive defenseman that I think we've been talking about for the last couple of years. I think that he's willing to add to this team if he can. But if they sell, what are they really going to sell? Look, they're not going to trade Alex Brinkout, okay? I think teams will tempt him and or try to tempt him and call him, but I don't think Alex Brinkout is going anywhere. I know we've seen a lot about Cam Talbot and the LA Kings. Nobody has called the Ottawa Senators about Cam Talbot. I can say that fairly firmly. As for Tyler Mott's an elite penalty killer. Why not sign him for another year rather than trade him? And I think I know people have mentioned Travis Hamonic. I think this is a tough one. I personally, and I said this to Mathot, I would sign Hamonic for another year. I think he's done a good job. But I also think they would go to Travis Hamonic. I think they have enough respect for Travis Hamonic that they would go to him and say, you want to be traded at the deadline before they even did anything. Because I think they really respect what Hamonic has done for them. And I think you agree, right, Dean?
Like,
that you know, Hamonic doesn't like to be traded. He's a family guy. I don't think he'd want to uproot his family at the trade deadline like he did last year. But I think that they would absolutely, if they're going to trade him, Creature, I think they'd give him an option. So all that to say is he's sitting firmly on the fence. But if you ask me that question after the six games when they get back, probably have a better answer.
Now, last one from me, Bruce. What are your thoughts? I'll tell you my thoughts, and you tell me if you think I'm working on a straight line or I'm kind of bent here. I don't think it's necessarily being a buyer or a seller, you know, for Pierre this year. I think Pierre is in a situation where he can be both. You know, you don't necessarily have to be a buyer simply because you think you have a chance to catch up and win a playoff spot. You know, I think that Pierre could be in the mode that, you know, he wants to be the buyer, a buyer out there. If there's things in the marketplace that teams are moving that he sees as being important pieces for the rest of this year, but next year and the year after, and having nothing really directly to do with the chase for a playoff spot. Also, at the same time, you know, moving some veteran guys that there might be interest in the marketplace for. Somebody calls you and asks about this guy and says he'll give you a third round pick for him. If you're not going to be re-signing him anyway, make that deal. So I think Pierre is an aggressive general manager. He's trying to make moves all the time. He's not a sit back and smoke a cigar and watch Oprah. You know, like he's an aggressive general manager. So do you think, Bruce, there's a chance that, you know, in my thinking, that he could be both a buyer and a seller coming up to the trade deadline?
Yeah, but in the sense that, you know, if he buys, and I'm just throwing this game out there because it's been out there, and you know, we talked about it on question period. If he went and got a Matt Dumba, he's not getting Matt Dumba, to be an unrestricted free agent. He's getting him to sign him to an extension.
Yes.
So if he goes out and gets a guy, he may sign him to an extension, and that may not be for this year. It may be for next year. But if someone calls in the process about Nick Holden and wants to take Nick Holden as depth for a playoff run, then, yeah, he might trade him for sure, Dean. I think that possibility exists. That being said, I think he would love to be a buyer and a buyer only.
Bruce, appreciate your time and insight. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks, guys. Take care,
Thanks, Bruce.
There goes Post Media's Bruce Garriock and the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. We'll come back and tee up the rest of the show. Quick segment here. Aaron John will join us at 3:05 to tee up Capital Hoops Classic. Women,
hey, you know,
go ahead.
Should we do it just to ignite the little flame? I'll do it if you don't want to, but should we talk to him about wind chill factor today?
I would love for you to do it. Not that I'm scared. I just feel like it's played out for me. Like I've done it a lot with him. So, fire away, Dean. Do whatever. You can ask basketball questions. You can ask windshield questions.
Perfect.
AJ at 3:00. Much more. We'll take a break, reset things on the other side as the drive continues on TSN 1200. Welcome back to a chilly Friday. It's a freezing cold Friday here on the drive. Thanks to Bruce Garriock, who joined us last segment. And it is the Capital.
When you listen to your ambition, you can accomplish amazing things. Whether you're looking to start your career or get ahead in your career, your journey begins at Seneca Polytechnic's Open House on Saturday, April 20th. Join us in person or virtually from 9 a.m. to noon to discover programs, meet Seneca experts, attend live presentations, and explore our campuses. You've got the ambition. Now take the first step. Register at SenecaPolytechnic.ca.
Hoops Classic going down tonight. Women tipping it off at 6:00. The men at 8. AJ Jakubek and Elias L. Zane with the call right here on TSN 1200. AJ will join us 10 minutes from now to help tee that up. Maybe talk about the weather as well. Maybe get him to weigh in on his thoughts on the Troy Mann situation playing out. But busy weekend at sports. Mentioned Capital Hoops tonight. 67s visit the Flint Firebirds this evening at 7 as well. Kenny Wallace has the call on Brother Station 580 CFRA. It's a 3-3 weekend for the Barber Pools. They visit Saginaw tomorrow at 7 and Sarnia Sunday at 1. Both of those weekend games found right here on TSN 1200.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you're the equipment manager for the Ottawa 67s and you're going into Flint to play the Firebirds, do you bring a bunch of jugs of your own water? Like, I'm not sure I want them filling up the water bottles with whatever they consider water to be.
That's a great question. I think Kenny weighed in on this during the week.
I'm not trying to be a smart ass, but their water's it's killing people. It's one of the worst water sources for any city in North America. Like, I want to know where the water and the water bottles comes from. And I'm not, not trying to be an idiot, but seriously.
No, for sure. And Kenny, I think he did hit on it. I didn't hear his take, but I heard them reference it later in the show, so they must have he must have had some kind of an answer or educated guess. But I would imagine it's one way or another. Maybe they did do that, or maybe they go with I don't know if the OHL has sponsored deals like BioSteel or Gatorade or whatever. I don't remember what they're doing now, but maybe that ends up being the entire situation where they bring one or the other. I don't know, but that's a good question for Kenny. You should text Kenny Walls. And that's what I was going to ask, if you had any texts that you like.
I'm just going to go through the ones that are here. I'm not sure I like or dislike. As I've said, I don't really appreciate, I appreciate the thought, but I just think it's a waste of time. The ones that are nice and complimentary. Okay, Dean, you asked for it. We're going to listen to Homer Simpson say dough for the next 2 hours instead of listening to you. I'm fine with that. I like Homer Simpson. What was his opinion on your scramble? That's from Dan. I don't know who the guy you're talking about.
They're talking about your mentor.
I hadn't started doing hockey when I first started doing it, and he was fine with it. He basically thought that anything that is something that's natural to you belongs in the broadcast, because he said everybody has their little things. So he said, don't hide them. Don't try to sound like everybody else. Sound like you. Dino, can you get that other guy to stop meowing? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to interject and say, have you rocked a scramble this year?
I'm sure I have. I don't plan them. They either happen or they don't. But sometimes when they're going on and I don't say scramble, people go, well, you missed an opportunity. Well, I don't sit there and think about it in the first place. Either it comes out or it doesn't. And anyway, put it this way. that when people say you don't do it as much as you used to, there's no conscious thought to suppress them. Either I say it or I don't, you know. I guess in the future, if that's what people want, I'll try and look for opportunities and make more of an effort to think about doing it.
Okay, on to the meow text.
Okay, Dino, can you please get the other guy to stop meowing? Well, first of all, the other guy is Gord. And number one, no, I can't stop him. He's his own man. He can say what he wants on the air. And number three, I like it.
Yes.
I think it's funny. I like it. So, Michael, sorry. The other guy's name is Gord, and I won't be, even if I had the power to stop him, which I don't, I would not be stopping him because I like it.
Terrific. I love it as well. I do the meow in the intermission scoring summary as well, whenever DeBrinket gets a goal there. So I love that.
It's harmless and fun.
Yeah,
come on.
You guys have fun during your broadcast.
All right, Dino, sorry, but this isn't mean or insulting. Well, why would I bother that? Anyway, I've already started. Rather, it's helpful and informative. Really, I think I'll be the judge of that. When one person's first name is the same as another person's last name, it never follows that they're related. Just thought I'd save you further embarrassment. Well, Gur the Mad, I'm not embarrassed because I know I do it all the time. And it's meant to be fun and entertaining in the broadcast. So when I say Kyle Connor is in no way related to Connor McDavid, it's a joke. And the vast majority of people, they get that. So now it's been explained to you. I don't worry about any further embarrassment for me. I don't mind embarrassment whatsoever. And this part really isn't embarrassing, except for you, because you don't get it.
Can we Dean put a pause on them for now? Dean, just because we do have to take a break, because AJ has an out time. He's a busy man today. He needs to be done by a certain time. You know how it is on a game day.
But I've got some really mean-spirited ones coming up.
We'll get to them, I believe, after AJ. Do we have a window? Maybe a small window between AJ and Kevin Haim that you can read the mean ones.
All right. Okay. And just to save time, you asked this first question to AJ. I'll ask the second one, and I'll get my wind chill factor question out of the way early.
Okay. Sounds good. We'll take a break. AJ Jakubek joins us on the other side to tee up Capital Hoops Classic as the drive continues on TSN 1200.